hope you're having a blessed Holy Week so far. Our questions, or if you have a question, I should say, our phone number for questions is 877-573-7825. Teresa Tomeo with you, Catholic Connection. It is a Tuesday morning, April 19th. Here we are already in Holy Week. I can't believe it's here already, even though Easter is as late as it could possibly be, you know, the end of April, April 24th. But it's an honor and a privilege to talk about our Lord and the Passover and Jesus and the Jewish faith and the fulfillment that comes with our Lord and, of course, the Catholic Church, with an expert on that very topic, Roy Shoman, author of Salvation is from the Jews and Honey from the Rock. He is also a speaker, and he is a convert to Catholicism, a powerful testimony he has. And, Roy, happy Holy Week to you. It's good to have you on the program.
Thanks. It's great to be here, and especially at the point in time where Judaism became Catholicism.
Yes, absolutely. All right. Now, I understand, did you or are you, I think you're speaking in Michigan fairly soon, or maybe you just spoke in Michigan. I'm trying to remember.
No, I just got back last night.
Oh, great. How'd it go?
It went wonderfully. What I do is at parishes, sometimes I do a kind of a, I call it a Passover Seder in the Light of Christ, where I go through the liturgy of the Passover Seder, showing the Christological implications of everything and its fulfillment in the Passion and Death of Christ. And I did two of them, and they were both essentially sold out. And it's a great learning experience.
Well, good, good. Well, let's start with a little bit of your story. I know you have a very powerful conversion story, and you've been on this program and many others explaining it. But in a nutshell, for a few minutes, talk about your journey and into the Catholic Church.
Sure. I was born and raised very Jewish. My parents are both German Jewish Holocaust refugees who fled to this country. I was very anti-Catholic, anti-Christian, even more anti-Catholic growing up, and went to Jewish religious education, went to MIT, went to Harvard Business School, became a professor at Harvard Business School, and lost my faith because I had been devoutly Jewish growing up, but I lost my Jewish faith at university. And then I was just kind of lost because life had no meaning or purpose, even though I was externally speaking so successful. And I was just walking in nature one morning, and I received this spectacular grace. From one moment to the next, the veil between earth and heaven dropping, and finding myself in the presence of God, very knowingly in the presence of God, and seeing my life as though I had died, and was looking back over my life in the presence of God, and I saw how I would feel about everything in my life after I died, and how I would weigh everything. In other words, what I would realize was important after I died, and what I would realize was stupid after I died. I saw that my two greatest regrets when I died, after I died, would be all the time and energy I had wasted worrying about not being loved, when every moment of my existence I was held in an ocean of love greater than I ever imagined could exist, coming from this all-knowing, all-loving God. And the other great regret would be every hour I had wasted doing nothing of value in the eyes of heaven. I saw that I had been so worried about life having no meaning, when in fact every moment has an infinite depth of meaning because it has the potential for moral action. And if we take advantage of that, we will be benefiting from that very literally 100 million years from now. And if we let that opportunity pass, it will be a lost opportunity for all eternity. So, I knew the meaning and purpose of my life was to worship and serve my Lord and Master, who was revealing himself to me. I didn't know who he was or what his name was or what religion to follow, so I prayed to know his name. And I remember praying, let me know your name so I know what religion to follow to worship and serve you properly. I don't mind if you're Buddha and I have to become Buddhist. I don't mind if you're Apollo and I have to become a Roman pagan. I don't mind if you're Krishna and I have to become Hindu, as long as you're not Christ and I have to become Christian. And that came from that, you know, anti-Christian bias that I had. So he didn't reveal his name to me, but I went back home happy for the first time since childhood. I knew there was never any reason to be anxious about anything, that everything that happened to us was the most perfect thing that could come to us coming from the hands of an all-knowing, all-loving God, not only including those things, by the way, that had caused the most suffering, but especially those things that caused the most suffering. And so I prayed every night before going to sleep to know the name of this Lord and Master and God who had revealed himself to me. And a year after the first experience, I went to sleep and felt as though I were awoken by a hand on my shoulder and led to a room and left alone with the most incredible young woman I could ever imagine. And I knew without being told that it was the Blessed Virgin Mary. And the first thing she said to me was she offered to answer any questions I might have for her. So I asked her about four or five questions, and then she answered them graciously. Then she spoke to me for a little bit longer, and then the audience was over. And then I went back to sleep, and the next morning when I woke up, I knew it had been Christ in that initial experience, and I knew who the Blessed Virgin Mary was and her importance, her exalted stature. And I wanted nothing but to be as fully and completely a Christian as possible. I didn't know what that meant, and I didn't know the difference between a Protestant and a Catholic. And I actually just opened a local phone book and found a local church to go to, which is a Protestant church. But I knew who the Blessed Virgin Mary was, and that pretty directly led me to the Catholic Church.
Now, what a humbling thing for you to grow up. Obviously, it's not only so anti-Christian, but anti-Catholic, and to say that prayer, I don't care who you are, as long as you're not, you know, Christian.
And then leads,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, and then leads you into the Catholic Church. But it sounds like there was a peace, even after that long-time rejection, there was a great peace when you obviously had this experience with Our Lady in your dream and then knew you had to become Catholic. So it wasn't that much of a struggle then for you in the very end when you finally decided this is what you need to be?
It wasn't at all a struggle. It wasn't a struggle at all after that initial experience. Nothing was a struggle because here, and this is the only disadvantage that cradle Catholics have is they don't know the angst and the despair of everybody else, or at least of, you know, non-believers or people who don't have much of a sense of the true religion. Because, I mean, imagine year after year thinking there's no purpose to anything. You know, it's like a bumper sticker. Terrible things happen for no explanation. You know, you live, a lot of life is suffering, and then you die and you rot in the earth. There's no meaning or purpose to anything. We're just accidents from this chemical soup hit by lightning. And to go from that to knowing that you're infinitely loved by this creator being who's in control of everything and arranging everything in your life, and that everything has a purpose, you know, after that, nothing else, you know, matters.
Mm-hmm. And so your ministry now, your beautiful website and your ministry is dedicated to helping people understand the fulfillment of Judaism. And tell us the importance of talking about this for obvious reasons this week during Holy Week, especially looking at Good Friday.
Well, I love, I don't know what the word is, but ministering to Catholics, because how can I put it? Sometimes when you come from outside, you have a bigger, better picture of the forest rather than the trees.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that hurts my heart a little bit is that cradle Catholics very often say, well, I'm Catholic because it's right for me, or I'm Catholic because, you know, my family is originally from Ireland and we're Catholics or something. That's not the reason to be Catholic. The reason to be Catholic is because, you know, God established one system for the relationship between God and man on earth to get the maximum benefit out of life on earth and the maximum benefit for all eternity in heaven. That system that he established had two phases. It had the first phase to prepare for the incarnation of Christ, and that was called Judaism. And then it had its fulfilled phase, which is the Catholic Church and the sacraments of the Catholic Church. The reason to be Catholic is because it's the truth. It's the system that God established for his relationship with man on earth, mm-hmm. not because your family is of Irish heritage.
Right, right. Or Italian heritage or Polish heritage.
I'm sorry, yeah. I didn't mean to be.
No, I'm just saying that that's a very true statement. It's because we are such a melting pot, and I'm saying that I'm agreeing with you 100%, because I know many Italian Americans in my own circles who have fallen away from the faith, but they're still, quote unquote, they call themselves Catholic. Well, that's what I was raised in, and so, you know, whatever. You go to Easter and you go to Mass at Easter and Christmas, and that's about it, but not really embracing or understanding the beauty and the fullness of the faith.
So to actually answer your question, which I realize I let drop a little bit, when you see the continuity between the preparation for the incarnation in Judaism and its fulfillment in the sacraments of the Catholic Church, you see it's one tableau, you know, it's one tapestry laid out from the beginning of time to the end of time. It deepens even the cradle Catholics' confidence and faith in the Catholic Church.
So when did you start discovering the fulfillment in terms of looking at the Mass, looking at Christ, the Eucharist, the sacrificial lamb, and all that meant? I mean, when did you start putting the pieces together?
In some sense, I never didn't. I mean, in other words, from the very first moment that I became Catholic, even before then when I started looking at the Catholic Church, you know, I felt puzzled that the cradle Catholics like would come to me after I entered the church and say, welcome to our church, because I felt like they had it backwards. It should be me saying, welcome to my church. Everything in Judaism reflected in Catholicism. You know, you have the man in the desert that sustained the Jews miraculously for 40 years, and Jesus is the true bread from heaven, who himself said, you know, your forefathers ate the man in the wilderness, but they died. But those who eat my flesh, you know, inherit eternal life. You have the story of the Exodus, which brings us to kind of this immediate topic of the Passover, because the Passover is a celebration of the Exodus of the Jews from Egypt. And even in the first generation of Catholics, St. Cyril of Jerusalem paints this beautiful picture. Look, the Jews were slaves to the Pharaoh in Egypt. That was a picture of mankind being slaves to sin. The Pharaoh in Egypt was a picture of Satan. How did the Jews get liberated from the power of the Pharaoh? They crossed the waters of the Red Sea, as we get liberated from the powers of Satan through the waters of baptism.
Right.
Then what happened? The Jews wandered through the desert for 40 years, sustained by this miraculous bread from heaven, which is a picture of the Christians' time spent in this life, sustained daily by this miraculous bread from heaven, the Eucharist, on their way to the promised land, which in the case of the Passover was Israel, and in the case of its fulfillment in Christianity is, of course, our eternal homeland in heaven. Everything, just everything is a reflection.
So what was it like for you the first time you went to Mass?
Well, I used to go to Mass a lot before I entered the church, so it was horrible because all I wanted to do was receive the Eucharist, and I knew I wasn't allowed to.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I was overwhelmed and deeply moved and greedy for the day when I could finally receive the Eucharist. And, you know, it's, I don't know how to put it, and it sounds corny, but it's the greatest joy of my life is Mass and receiving communion. And literally, since the day of my baptism, I think I have maybe missed Mass, maybe 20 days, and that's over about 20 years.
Wow. And so it must give you great joy to be able to talk about this and also to present, as you did just recently. You said you just got back from giving two presentations in Michigan. Is it neat to see the lights starting to go on when you look at Cradle Catholics who maybe have not gotten it for so long?
Yeah, it's incredibly rewarding. And, and sometimes they obviously come up to me afterwards and say, you know, I never got the whole picture. Before the day before yesterday, I was in northern Michigan in Bannister, and a woman came up, actually several people came up and said, you know, you connected all the dots. You know, I never saw the dots connected before.
All right, let's take a quick break, and we'll take some calls, 877-573-7825. Perfect discussion for this Holy Week, especially Good Friday. We have Roy Shulman, who is a convert to Catholicism, and you can check out his website, which is just loaded with all kinds of great information. And, boy, what a great thing to look at this week, especially salvationisfromthejews.com. Again, salvationisfromthejews.com, and you can get information on how to order his books, which are published by Ignatius Press, Salvation from the Jews and Honey from the Rock. Honey from the Rock is the second book, which is actually a collection of 16 first-person accounts of Jews who have gratefully entered the Catholic Church. And the first book, of course, Salvations from the Jews, is an in-depth study of the role of Jews in Judaism and God's plan for salvation from Abraham to the Second Coming. And, of course, in that book, he also talks about his own journey into the Catholic Church. He kind of gave us just a real little small summary, and there's a lot more that happened, that it's a very dynamic and dramatic conversion story and a beautiful story, as we mentioned. 877-573-7825, 877-573-7825. salvationisfromthejews.com. Roy Shulman is our guest. We'll be right back.
Catholic Connection is brought to you in part by Sienna, the Catholic mobile phone company. With Sienna, 5% of every voice plan goes to help the pro-life, pro-family efforts of Ave Maria Radio. Sienna uses a nationwide digital network, and our calling plans allow you to support the culture of life with every call. To learn more, the number is 877-474-3662 or on the web at prolifecatholic.com.
As Catholics, the Mass is the center of our faith. We celebrate it every day. We know all the responses. We know all the gestures. But now that the words of the Mass are changing, we are prompted to wonder, do we really know what it all means? Hello, this is Dr. Edward Sree, inviting you to discover the riches of the liturgy in a biblical walk through the Mass, a five-part study based on the new Mass translation coming this Advent. Here, we explore the biblical roots of the words and gestures we experience in the Mass, and see their profound significance in the context of the new translation. More information can be found on our website at guidetothemass.com. While there, you can view video clips and learn how you can review the program at no cost. That's guidetothemass.com. God bless you.
Cresta in the Afternoon is brought to you in part by the St. Gregory Retreat Center, a fully licensed and internationally accredited alternative to traditional drug and alcohol treatment. The Life Process Model has utilized the latest techniques based on the most current scientific research. More information about the St. Gregory Retreat Center is available at 888-778-5833. That's 888-778-5833.
More information on our guest, Roy Shoman, you can go to salvationisfromthejews.com, where you can order his books, and you can even contact him, maybe for a presentation at your parish, which I would highly recommend. We are talking this Holy Week, of course, about the connections between Catholicism and Judaism and the fulfillment of everything, of course, in Jesus Christ. And I think it's so beautiful when we can really see this, and the Catholic Church has taught this forever. And it's just so neat when we finally are able to piece it together for ourselves. Now, Roy, you wanted to discuss, especially for Good Friday, the sacrifice of Abraham, of his son Isaac, and the connection to Jesus as the true Paschal Lamb. Let's start with that. I know there's a lot to cover there, but let's talk about that, especially in light of Good Friday.
Absolutely. The beginning of the whole story of salvation history, in some sense, that was fulfilled in the sacraments of the Catholic Church, is Abraham's willingness to sacrifice Isaac way back in Genesis. That was what initiated the Jewish people. Abraham, of course, being the father of the Jewish people, he was chosen at random. He was asked to sacrifice his only son on top of a mountain. And when he obeyed God's command to do that, although God spared him the actual sacrifice, God promised that in return, essentially, the quote from the scriptures is, "All the nations of the earth will be blessed through your seed." That was always understood to be the promise to send the Messiah. What did Abraham do to earn this promise to send the Messiah? He took his only beloved son, laid wood on his shoulders for his son's own sacrifice, and took him up this mountain called Mount Moriah. When they were halfway up that mountain, the son Isaac asked his father, "I see the wood for the sacrifice and the fire, but where is the lamb for the sacrifice?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the sacrifice, my son." He got to the top of Mount Moriah. Abraham bound Isaac, was about to slay him. The angel said, "Stop, because you've been willing to do this. Through your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed." Now, that mountain, which was called Mount Moriah, in the days of Abraham, 2,000 years later, had another name. It was Mount Calvary. Mm-hmm. It's the very same place. And if you go to Jerusalem, I know you've been to Jerusalem, they're about 500 yards apart. On the same ridge, you see the dome of the rock over the rock where Isaac was bound, and a few hundred yards further down the street, you see the Church of the Holy Sepulchre where Calvary was. Now, when the angel told Abraham, don't kill your son, Abraham turned around and found a ram caught in a thicket by its horn and sacrificed that ram instead of Isaac. That ram that was sacrificed instead of Isaac was always seen as a placeholder for the eventual true sacrifice, which would be the coming of the Messiah. That ram was caught in a horn by its thicket, and as you probably know, and some of the listeners, on the Jewish feast days, Jews in their liturgy blow a ram's horn, a shofar. Hold your ears a minute. Let me try to have one here. I don't know how that came across.
No, heard it loudly and clearly,
That blowing of the ram's horn is done to remind God of his promise to send the Messiah. You know, it's saying, look, you promised Abraham that you would send the Messiah. Where is he already? And in the meantime, we're sacrificing these lambs in our wake. And, of course, we know that Jesus was the true Passover lamb. That's explicit in the Gospels. In Corinthians, for instance, Paul says, "For Christ our Paschal Lamb has been sacrificed." Judaism always understood that the Messiah would come on Passover. That's in the Talmud. St. Jerome confirms, he says, has a quote, that the Jews believe that the Messiah will come at midnight on Passover, according to the time in Egypt, because, again, the point being that the liberation of the Jews from Egypt, again, even in Jewish theology, was seen as a type of the liberation which would come when the Messiah would come. So since that happened on Passover, the liberation to come from the Messiah would have to come on Passover. And that's why Jesus was crucified on Passover. And every Passover Seder has a place setting held for Elijah. And at the end of the Seder, the children go to the door and throw open the door to see if Elijah is waiting, hoping that he'll be at the door to come in and join the Seder, because that would mean that this is the Passover night when the Messiah is coming, because we know from Scripture that Elijah will come before the Messiah to announce his coming. So the whole Passover is messianic. The whole Passover Seder is a kind of expression of the messianic hope, and of course it was fulfilled on that very first Catholic Mass, which was the last sacramental Passover Seder, which was the Last Supper.
Now, it's interesting, you and I were chatting during the break. I was telling you about an article I read yesterday. I was traveling back from a speaking engagement, and I read this article in USA Today, and then there was a really good op-ed piece by Michael Medved, who's very strong in his Jewish faith. But the piece that I was mentioning was this story about how Seder meals are becoming very popular and how more and more people are doing this, especially in Christian circles, to try to retrace their Jewish roots. What are your thoughts about that? I mean, as long as they're done and people understand it, but hopefully there's some explanation that goes along with it.
Oh, I think it's beautiful, and I think it's great because you know, as I said earlier, Christianity and Judaism aren't two separate religions. They're the same religion that was transformed with the realization of the promise of Judaism, with the coming of the Jewish Messiah, who then changed the relationship between man and God exactly as it was supposed to. You know, it was always a plan. And in that change of the relationship between man and God, Judaism was transformed into Christianity, and more specifically, into Catholicism. But so, you know, these are, I think, Christians moved in their hearts to kind of get back in touch with the Jewish roots of Christianity and to experience the unity of the two, which is another way of confirming the truth of Christianity.
Mm-hmm. Let's take one call. Hopefully we'll have time for another one. But Kathy from Arkansas, and this concerns her son, so I really wanted to give her the opportunity to talk to you. Hi, Kathy. Good morning.
Good morning, and thank you. I have a son who's joined the Reformed Jew Church, and I understand that there's different ones. And someone made a comment that there are particular ones that are cults. Can you, Mr. Shulman, please give me maybe a short explanation or maybe reference some material?
Reference to material is a very short book I wrote called Judaism, that's published by the Christian Truth Society, a Catholic Truth Society, goes through the different denominations of Judaism. But I wouldn't say Reformed Judaism has nothing resembling, you know, cultishness about it or a cult. What it is it is the least observant slice of contemporary Judaism. So basically, once you get beyond Reformed Judaism into the more observant or orthodox slices, which are conservative and then orthodox, they believe, conservative and orthodox believe, that the Old Testament is the divinely revealed Word of God, although transmitted through people. When you get to orthodox, they believe that it's still incumbent on Jews to follow all of the laws in the Old Testament and so forth. Reformed Judaism basically lets anyone believe whatever they want to believe, as much as they want to believe or as little as they want to believe, and doesn't really impose much in the way of doctrine. I don't want to be unfair, but you could maybe compare it a little bit to Unitarianism.
I was just going to say that's what it sounds like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like that.
So where is that book available again? Name the booklet.
I think Ignatius Press distributes it, but it's called Judaism from a Catholic Perspective.
Okay, Judaism from a Catholic Perspective. So I'm looking at your speaking schedule, and you've got quite a few things going on, and on April 30th you're going to be giving another talk, and then I was down at the Journey Home yesterday, and I understand you're going to be speaking at the Deep in History Conference hosted by the Coming Home Network in Columbus, Ohio. That's coming up in October, and then Saturday, April 30th, next Saturday, Jewish Catholic Seder, a Passover Seder in the light of Christ, and that is taking place in Illinois. So all the information about Roy's ministry is on his website at salvationisfromthejews.com. It's pretty amazing, isn't it, the journey the Lord takes us on when we open ourselves up, huh?
Well, he's true to his promise, and I think that if anybody is genuinely hungry to know God and to live in union with God, one way or another, he'll get through to us.
Yes, amen. Roy, thanks. Happy Easter to you, and God bless you for your ministry, and I look forward to talking to you again soon. Again, Roy Shoman, and his website, Salvation is from the Jews. You have a great and blessed day, and we'll be back with more Catholic Connection again. Stay tuned, listening to EWTN.